Okay, good afternoon. So following the Christchurch earthquake of 22nd of February, there has been public concern both here and overseas about the loss of life which occurred within the Christchurch Central Business District, and in particular within the CCV and PGC buildings. We understand the need to provide answers about why such loss of life occurred in these buildings. The government is determined to get those answers. As a starting point, the Department of Building and Housing has started a technical investigation into the performance of the CTV and PGC buildings, along with the Forsyth Bar buildings and the Hotel Grand Chancellor. Their investigation will take into account the relevant building codes and standards, records about the work, and assessments done on the buildings both before and after the September earthquake, and information from members of the public with first-hand accounts of the way the buildings performed. In addition to this investigation, Cabinet today agreed to the establishment of a Royal Commission of Inquiry on the Canterbury earthquake. The inquiry will examine issues around the built environment in the Christchurch CBD, including but not limited to those buildings in the DBH investigation, as well as the adequacy of the relevant building codes and standards going forward. The inquiry will consider report on design codes, construction methods and building controls in force when the relevant buildings were designed and constructed, and will examine whether the buildings were compliant with the requirements at the time of design and construction and more recent codes. It will also look at whether any earthquake and aftershock risks with those buildings had been identified. More broadly, the Royal Commission of Inquiry will have the scope to look into the regulatory regime for construction of buildings in New Zealand and its adequacy given the risk of earthquakes. The government believes the independence of this Royal Commission will ensure that not only are its investigations thorough and searching, but they are perceived as such. Furthermore, the inquiry, as with all Royal Commissions, will have power to compel the provision of evidence and attendance of visitors. Cabinet has recommended that the Governor-General appoint His Honour, Justice Cooper, as the chair of the Royal Commission. Justice Cooper has extensive experience in planning and local government issues, including that gained as principal legal advisor for the Auckland City, North Shore City and Rodney District Councils. As with the Pike River Commission of Inquiry, the Attorney-General, Chris Finlayson, will have the administrative responsibility for this inquiry. Two additional members of the Commission will be considered and announced in due course. The government believes this independent investigation is a vital step in restoring public confidence in the future of the Christchurch CBD. I'm conscious of the need to balance the Commission's responsibility to work thoroughly against the risks of delaying the urgent rebuild of Christchurch. It is important that the reasons for the severity of the damage to certain buildings and consequent loss of life are understood as soon as possible. For this reason, the Cabinet will request that the Royal Commission provide an interim report back in approximately 6 months. This will include any recommendations that may be relevant to the construction of new buildings in the Christchurch CBD. The final report back will occur in approximately 12 months and will include recommendations on remaining areas of inquiry. Draft terms of reference for the Royal Commission inquiry are being finalised and will be released in due course. Today I'm pleased to confirm that we will be welcoming a top-level Australian presence at the National Memorial Service on Friday. I can confirm that Australian Governor-General Quentin Bryce, Prime Minister Julia Gillard and Opposition Leader Tony Abbott will all be travelling to Christchurch for the service. We are grateful for this show of solidarity with New Zealand by the leadership of Australia. I'd like to outline a few points about the Christchurch earthquake appeal, which we discussed in Cabinet today. Obviously, the scale of a disaster and tragedy in Japan means the government's own appeal will of necessity have a narrower focus than before. Christchurch's earthquake and the task of rebuilding the city and its communities is still very much the priority of this government, but Japan is also high in the minds of the international community. The Christchurch earthquake appeal has been set up as a charitable trust. There are two trustees, the Secretary of the Treasury and Secretary for Internal Affairs. They have total discretion regarding the distribution of the appeal funds subject to the terms of the trustee. To provide a focus for the distribution of appeal funds, the trustees have agreed to adopt 7 individual categories of grants. They are individual and family hardship and relief, spiritual and faith, sport and recreation, education, heritage and culture, economic revitalisation and the environment. As the needs of Christchurch communities evolve, trustees have the scope to adjust and amend these categories. The intention is for the appeal not to replicate the emergency relief support provided by other charitable agencies, nor as a substitute for core government responsibilities, but to address the gap between the two. Talking further of Japan, the rest of our urban search and rescue team left this morning and will be arriving in Japan tonight. They follow the small advance team which arrived in Japan last night. In total, just over 50 personnel are being deployed, with 46 being urban search and rescue, and the rest support personnel like translators. As I said at the weekend, I'm advised that in sending this team, we are not leaving New Zealand vulnerable in terms of our ability to respond to emergencies here. Japan responded quickly last month to the Christchurch earthquake, and the New Zealand government is very happy to provide whatever assistance we can to Japan at this time of need. In deciding to send a USAR team, we were conscious of the risks involved. We have sought advice on the risks in terms of the issues involving the Japanese nuclear reactors. The team will be operating in an area about 130 kilometres from the reactor, and they will be with the Australian USAR personnel. The team was given refresher training in managing and monitoring radiation exposure before they left and have taken protective equipment with them. I'm satisfied that all necessary precautions are being taken. In addition, I'm advised that the National Radiation Laboratory in Christchurch has been and continues to be consulted and available to the USAR team management. In terms of my activity this week, I'm in Wellington tomorrow and Wednesday for the House. On Thursday, I plan to be on the West Coast with Prince William, and on Friday, I'll be speaking at the National Memorial Service in Christchurch. Tomorrow I'll move a motion expressing condolences to the people of Japan for the losses they have suffered as a result of the recent earthquake and tsunami. For the rest of the week, it's the government's intention to make further progress on the Marine and Coastal Area Bill. Questions?
Do you have
an
estimate of the cost of holding
the Royal Commission like that? Look, the initial estimate was around about $6 million, but that number may change depending on its work.
Any idea how long it may take?
Well, as you said, we'd like them to report back approximately within 12 months. One of the issues that may delay that is the Department of Building and Housing undertaking their own investigation. If that was to lead to criminal prosecutions, then the Royal Commission's work needs to stop until those prosecutions have progressed through the legal system. But approximately 12 months.
How dependent will rebuilding be in the city? You've said in 6 months they'll come back.
Yeah.
Would you really want to see that draft report before any sort of large-scale rebuilding of the inner city starts?
Yeah, so the plan here is to say, look, there's two parts to this. Firstly, do we need to change the building code for the Christchurch CBD? And if we do, the sooner we can get that information, the better, because people are going to go about building new buildings and they need to build them to the new code. That's why we want that interim report back. We think it's very, very unlikely that any new building is going to be constructed within the next 6 months. The reality is it's going to take time to clear the buildings in the Christchurch CBD, take time for the land to settle down, design work needs to take place, so it'll take some time. So we think that will cover that off. The second part is really looking at do we need to make changes to the code for buildings that have previously been constructed, and in particular those that have been strengthened? Are the codes set at the right level, and is the time it takes for buildings to be brought up to code appropriate?
And are you going to look at that nationwide? Obviously looking at the building codes in Wellington in particular, will
yep.
it be extrapolated to other cities?
In terms of the latter, yes. In terms of the former, I'll give them the tax and advice on that.
Since the Rugby World Cup,
yep.
Did Cabinet discuss the reports on the stadium that you might have received or reading from them?
Look, we had a sort of top-level discussion about it today. I've hastened to add that the Minister hasn't received all of the reports, but he's got some of them. So he's in the process now of trying to digest those. He's awaiting some further information. I think he's going to have conversations with VBase and other relevant parties. At some point, we'll be in a position to make an assessment of what our recommendation is and what our view is, and then obviously have those discussions with the IRB. We're hopeful that we can come up with a recommendation by the end of the week.
Thank you. So is it fair to say, though, that you were less optimistic than you were last weekend and had some insight into what the magnitude of this is going to
be? Look, I haven't seen all of the information. I haven't read the reports. I only had an oral briefing from the minister. I mean, look, I think it's fair to say we all acknowledge it's challenging, but that doesn't mean that it's impossible.
So you're still thinking it could be... still
keeping hope alive. Yes, but we want to be in a position to give you an outcome, or at least what our recommendation to the IRB would be by Friday. I think the IRB are very keen to work in conjunction with us. I mean, they're accepting we have the best available advice, and we're going to be realistic about that advice. If we can hold the cup there and do so in a professional way, we will, but if we can't, then we'll also give that honest upfront assessment. No discussion about that today, in any great note, other than to say that we've spent about $73 million so far. That's for the 3-week period. So actually our modelling of the numbers has been about right. We think we originally said there'd be about 42,000 people, there might be about 45 at the moment. If it runs for about 6 weeks, then it'll cost about $140 million, so slightly above the top end of what we estimated. The answer is, look, there'll be another extension of a package. Whether the criteria is narrowed and changes, then my expectations is it probably will, because this was a good starting point, but we haven't had any discussions on that yet.
What's the name of that area where our youth are teaching?
I don't know exactly, I'll have to check that way.
What approaches?
So I know it's about 130k from the reactor.
What approaches have been made by the Chinese embassy about extra compensation for families of Christchurch quake victims?
Well, I don't know whether there's been a formalised approach from the Chinese embassy. I know there's been some discussion about whether compensation would be paid. I mean, the New Zealand government's position is that aspect is covered by our existing legislation. We have ACC and the likes. Many of the Chinese students have, if not all of them, have insurance. You know, the government's made it clear that it will help in terms of repatriation of bodies and helping families. So outside of that, you know, at this stage we don't have any intention to make any other changes.
What about their claims that because of China's one-child policy that the parents are going to be missed out in a cold for their retirement?
Well, our greatest sympathy goes to those families. We appreciate that issue. But at this stage we haven't got any intentions to change the way we operate. We have a policy under ACC that applies to international citizens as much as it does locals.
What impact are you predicting that this will have on the New Zealand economy in terms of Japan being one of our larger trading partners?
You mean the earthquake and tsunami in Japan? Well, look, it's going to have some impact because, I mean, the Japanese economy is a very significant economy. It's only in recent times that China's gone past Japan as the second largest economy in the world. I think from memory last time I looked, I think we export about $6 billion with a two-way trade between China and Japan and New Zealand. I think it's in that order of magnitude. So it's a big market from our point of view. I don't know what immediate impact it will have, but one would expect some. Yeah, look, we're considering those sort of areas. I mean, the sorts of areas would be maybe in terms of engineering capability, possibly something on the sort of science side, geology, or but we're a bit open-minded on those. And we'd want to talk to Justice Cooper about that. I mean, that's what we did with the Pike River Inquiry. We obviously gave the chair an opportunity to talk to us about the membership. Hopefully we'll make that together.
So I wasn't clear from your answer to James' question, but the final report, will it just be looking at Christchurch or will it have implications for the whole country?
Well, I think in terms of the codes for existing buildings, I think it may have implications for the whole country. In terms of the building standard, then that will be specific to the Christchurch CBD is my thinking at this point.
What's the situation on the CTB building in terms of a separate inquiry there? Is there any further thought being given to that
So just to recap, the way that works is Department of Building and Housing are having an investigation, and they are in the best position. They're both, I think, legally required to do that, but anyway, in the best position to undertake that investigation. And that's on four buildings, CTB, PGC, Grand Chancellor Hotel and Forsyth Bar. All of that may or may not lead to any further action taken by DBH, but that work flows into the Royal Commission's work. So they effectively do the initial work and then the Royal Commission can look at that further.
Is there any advice at this point on the likelihood of any criminal charges?
No, too early to tell.
Thank you.
Did Cabinet discuss any other aspects of the Christchurch earthquake though?
Well, it was very extensive. We went through, as we do at the moment, an update from every single portfolio area, looking at progress that's been made, challenges that we face. There's a number of other issues we looked at, but we're not in a position to really talk too much about those today.
Was there any discussion, what's being vocally called, I suppose, of rebuilding or reconstruction staff, someone to oversee it all, not in the ministerial sense, but in more executive sense? Is there any progress in that area?
Not so much about the person, but about the structure, yes. It was a fairly high-level discussion. We have to do more work in that area. I hope to be in a position to be able to update you on that soon, because we need to make progress on that. It's quite clear that the current structure of the Earthquake Recovery Commission won't be sufficient to address all of the concerns that the government would have, and wouldn't be the right vehicle for response given the magnitude of the second earthquake.
So how wide are you expecting to cover for that on this one?
Give me a bit more time, I'll come back to you on it.
What do you mean when you say that the international people have a narrower focus? Do you go to fewer countries?
Yeah, look, I think we'll probably narrow the focus down a little bit more to those where we believe there's a real connection with New Zealand. I mean, it's still quite a wide net that we can cast, obviously, but we just need to be conscious of the fact that while this doesn't make the job in Christchurch any easier, we need to be conscious of the fact that there's now a very substantial earthquake that's taking place in Japan, and just be sensitive to that.
Given the recent demands on the USAR teams, has any consideration been given to extending their sizing capacity?
No. One of the issues we covered off very late on Friday night and early into Saturday morning was their capability to go in and do this work in Japan. I was conscious of the fact that, quite frankly, they worked their guts out for the last 3 weeks or so, and that they might be tired. Didn't want to put them in a position where they were endangered in any way. As well as the issues that we talked about, but they were confident that they could carry out this work. But they're a specialist unit, and three teams of 48, which is roughly what we have, feels about the right number to us.
Phil Goff's ruled out working with Hone Haruera after the election. Does your party have any position on working with him as an independent or any connected party?
Yeah, well, look, it's a moot point ruling him out because he's ruled himself out. I mean, the very reason he left the Maori Party was because he doesn't want to work with National, so...
But if he came to National and said, I'd like to work with you, what would the party entertain a relationship with him?
Well, given they left the Maori Party because it doesn't want to work with us, I'd be surprised if that happened, but no, we won't be working with him.
On the impacts of the Japan quake and tsunami,
yep.
The insurance industry, do you think this could, again, push up the UPC levy further, and will it cost more to replenish?
Look, I don't have any advice on that. I mean, obviously, you make a fair point that the reinsurers are taking a hammering at the moment. I don't know what level of reinsurance risk that the Japanese have, but we can see that the earthquake and resulting tsunami is likely to have a very substantial cost to Japan, and what impact that has on reinsurers, I don't know. But, I think just the earthquake in New Zealand would unquestionably mean that reinsurance will be more expensive for New Zealand. That is a statement of fact.
If there was another earthquake, God forbid, tomorrow, would we have reinsurance in place?
Yes, we have some. It's much more limited than it was, but we're in the process of renegotiating. So the way it worked was $2.5 million per individual event. So if we had two events, $5 million. There's some residual after that, and we're in the process of renegotiating further reinsurance.
Is it not much?
Not a hell of a lot.
$200 million or?
More than that, less than a billion, as I understand.
Less than a billion.
Just going back to the Rugby World Cup situation at AMI Stadium,
yep.
You've had some advice already, but you're not going to be able to tell us the advice to IRB until the end of the week. Are you still getting more advice? Or
yes, the advice isn't complete.
Okay, and so is it correct that you've got AMI advice and now you're getting City advice?
Look, I'm not sure exactly the reports the Minister doesn't have, but I know he doesn't have all of them. That was what he said to me last night. I haven't actually read the reports. I had a briefing from him. I had a meeting with him last night about it. But we're not in a position to have all of the information, but we have some of the information.
Has the IRB given you any indication that they might override the government's recommendation?
No, I think the opposite, actually. I think the IRB want to work closely with us. I mean, they recognise that we have the best technical advice on the ground. We've also got a very good working relationship with them, and I actually think they've been very constructive the whole way through. We're not going to make a recommendation to them unless we believe it's the right recommendation. I mean, yes, there's an emotional part of this, and obviously all of us, I think, want to see the cup held in Christchurch, but unless it can be done in a way where it's well, in the best interests of both Cantabrians and actually possible, and therefore bet in the best interests of the Rugby World Cup and New Zealand's international image, it won't happen.
Are you going to make public your recommendation to the IRB on Friday?
Well, I'm not sure it's exactly Friday, but I'd like to sort of try and have those discussions with them and be able to communicate the likely outcome this week if we can. We need to make some decisions as quickly as we can.
Have you already started working on a
backup
plan?
Well, I haven't, but I'm sure, you know, Rugby World Cup New Zealand and those responsible for that would have a sense of what it means. I know that there's 7 games being hosted, there's limited opportunities or places where the quarters could be hosted, so I'm sure they may be doing some work, but at the moment their main focus, as I understand, has been on assessing the issues in Christchurch.
So will your recommendation contain any of those backup plans, like moving it to Dunedin or Auckland or whatever?
I would imagine they could be talking about that, yeah.
Have you been briefed on what any of the backup plans might be?
Oh, just at a very high level.
Anything specific?
Only that there are always options available, but just a statement there.
Well, the people of Christchurch, I guess, through the Christchurch City Council, for example, or Bob Parker, get a say in this? I mean, will they get to feed into that advice, or is it coming from Wellington, essentially?
Well, the first thing to understand is that AMI Stadium is owned by VBase, and VBase is effectively a council organisation, and they own 4 different entities, I understand, the Edmonton Raceway and the Convention Centre and various other assets. So in the first instance, they are intimately involved. I think secondly, the starting point is if we can hold the cup there and do so in a way that means that we can be confident about what we're doing, we'll be holding the cup there. So if our recommendation is not to do that to the IRB, it's simply because we do not believe it's possible. And we're not in a position to make that decision today. So it's not that we don't want to communicate with the people of Christchurch, it's just simply we want to gather all of the information and then, you know, in the end, put those facts on the table. But, you know, hopefully those facts will give us a clear picture one way or the other.
Are you taking into account in that decision the likely, you know, commitment of construction and what have to do that, which would presumably mean you'd have less capital and work being done on getting people back into their homes?
Yes, so there's a factor. What is the likely impact on drawing resources away from the reconstruction in other parts of Christchurch vis-a-vis the construction work that would be required at the AMI Stadium. But that is just one of a number of many issues. It's the level of damage to the stadium, it's the ability to actually get the turf into an order where you could actually play, you know, 7 football matches. There's a whole number of factors in there.
Can I clarify with you, with those reports that you talked to the Minister about last night,
yep,
the further reports, are they because you received advice last night and you're now requesting more information in light of that information, or are they reports you requested right from the beginning?
The latter point. So he's received some of them, but not all of them.
It's on the reinsurance issue again. So do you have any idea how long that process will take to get the reinsurance back to the...
No, you have to take that up with the Minister of Finance. He's the Minister responsible and they're negotiating. He has the warrant for EQC.
Well, now you're comfortable...
Well, we want to reinstate the reinsurance risk, and my understanding is that they're working on that process, but you need to take that with him. Okay.
Yeah. Yes. Well.